You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, I want to welcome all of our campuses, Siena, Cypress, downtown, Espanol, and here at the Loop as well, to be able to join together. If you've got a Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one. There's one right in the seat back in front of you at the Loop campus and different places, and seat backs in front of you at other campuses as well. And if you would want to grab one of those, that'll be our free gift to you. And we'll also put it up on the screen in just a second. But we are so glad that you're joining with us and to be able to have this time together. A few years ago, we started something in our church, and we started this initiative called Difference Makers, on being a difference maker, and the initiative actually morphed into being an identity. It wasn't just something we said, we're gonna do this for a while. It was something that became a part of us where we said, this is who we are. We want to be difference makers. Ephesians chapter 4, it says that we are to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So the work of the ministry, making a difference in the world, isn't just me or the staff doing that. It isn't your campus pastor doing that. We'll do that as well. But it's the people of God becoming difference makers to make a difference in other people's lives. And so I want to talk to you today about the ultimate difference maker of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ makes the ultimate difference in our lives. And when he makes that ultimate difference, then he allows you to be a difference maker with your friends and your family so that you can have a life of impact and a life of purpose as well. You know, Houston is filled with difference makers. Difference makers are all over the place in Houston. This past week, I went to a place called the Glenwood Cemetery. It's by Washington and Memorial. It's kind of sandwiched in between inside the Loop. I'm a native Houstonian, but I'd never been there before. And somebody had told me about it. It's this beautiful cemetery. You ought to drive through it sometime. And it has in it a ton of Houston difference makers that are buried there. Let me give you a few names that are buried there. Charlotte Baldwin Allen. Have you ever heard of Allen Parkway? Well, her husband was Augustus C. Allen. His brother was John Kirby Allen, Kirby Drive. John Kirby Allen. And these two men are the ones that are given credit of founding Houston. But ladies, don't you know behind every great man, there's an even greater woman. She's given credit for being the one that financed the founding of Houston. And that she also said, why don't we name it after Sam Houston? So the name of Houston came from this lady that was buried in this cemetery. George R. Brown, we've heard of the George R. Brown Convention Center. George Herman, he left his entire fortune for the benefit of Houstonians. So we have Herman Park, Herman Hospital, that's where I was born actually, in Herman Hospital. Herman City Square at the City Hall area. William P. Hobby is buried in Glenwood Cemetery. He's, you know, Hobby Airport. We've all flown out of there before and was also the governor of Texas. John Wortham of the Wortham Center was buried there. Howard Hughes, the billionaire, is buried there. Made his money with business and aviation and filmmaking. And then my favorite, there's a lot of other famous people buried there, but one of my favorites is this, a guy named Roy Hoffines. Why Roy Hoffines? Because Roy Hoffines gave us the Astrodome and brought Major League Baseball to Houston, Texas. So we brought the Astros. He brought us the Astros, which is great. So without Roy Hoffines, we don't have Correa. We don't have Altuve. We don't have Springer. We have no joy in our city at different times of the year, right? So we love that. That's a great thing. These difference makers buried in the cemetery. But Jesus Christ is the ultimate difference maker. If you were to go to Jerusalem, you would not find a headstone. You would not find a casket. And you would not find a body. Because he has been resurrected from the grave. He is the ultimate difference maker, and I want to show you in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 16 through 17, how important the resurrection is. Do you know that the resurrection is miraculous? It's life-changing, but it's also essential. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're going to see our faith is worthless. It is necessary and essential. Look in verse 16 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, 16, and 17. Pretty easy to remember. For if the dead are not raised, if there's no resurrection, then not even Christ has been raised. Verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. The resurrection is going to give us two things. It's going to give us purpose and it's going to give us purity. It says, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is in vain. You're in vain in your faith. Showing up here today is just kind of wasting time. This word of worthless, this word of vain, in the Greek it means to be in vain. Vain means this. It means to render something void of useful aim. Render something void of effect. Render something void of purpose. So our life without the resurrection of Christ is in vain. Our faith is in vain. There's nothing further than your life here on planet Earth. Do a lot of great things, but then you're going 6 feet under and that's the end of the deal. See, purposelessness is not what God wants. God wants to make a difference through your life through Jesus Christ so that you can make a difference in other people's lives, that God could do something through you and you could have something not in vain, but you could live something with great, great purpose. You know, as Americans, we are yearning for purpose. We're yearning for purpose and longing for purpose, I should say. 78% of Americans agree with this statement, according to Lifeway Research. It is important that I pursue a higher purpose and meaning for my life. 78% of us are saying, I need a higher purpose and I need a higher meaning in my life. 67% agree with this statement. A major priority in my life is finding my deeper purpose. So you and I are looking for deeper purpose, and the resurrection of Christ is what allows us to have a faith that is not in vain, to live a life that is not in vain. You're looking for purpose. How do I know that? Because you want your marriage to be more than sharing bills. You want to have a soulmate. You want your parenting to be more than just common sense. You want it to be godly wisdom. Students, you're looking for God's will for your life, not just trying to make good grades and nail it on the SAT. There's purpose that is higher, and the resurrection of Christ, trusting in Christ, that's what allows us to ultimately have the ultimate difference maker so that we can live a life that is not in vain and makes a difference in somebody else's life, beginning in our own. But it doesn't stop there in this verse of scripture. It says, if without the resurrection, your life is in vain, but it can have purpose with the resurrection. And it says, you are still in your sin. The resurrection brings us purpose. The resurrection also brings us purity. Without the resurrection of Christ, we're still in our sins. Nobody would argue that we're sinful. Nobody would argue that we make mistakes. We choose to make mistakes. We choose sinful things. But how do we get those rid in our life? How do we have cleansing in our life? It's through the cross of Christ. Without the cross, without the resurrection, we are in a worthless faith and we are still in our sins. Purity or remaining in our sins. It's the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay for your sin and my sin. He took the sin upon the world, upon himself, so that he could die. Then he could be buried. Then the grave wouldn't hold him. He would rise again from the grave so that you and I could walk in purity. See, the forgiveness of Christ is not just a change of your morality. A change is not just your morality. It's deep in the core and the fiber of who you are. You're a new creation in Christ, and the resurrection secures that. A lot of people died on a Roman cross. That's not a big deal. A lot of people were martyred for their beliefs. That's not a big deal. But Jesus Christ rose again from the grave. That's a huge deal. And out of the rubble of our lives and out of the burns of sin and the ashes of sin, the cross stands forward. You saw it on the news this week, just as I did, as the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris went up in flames. I've been there before to Paris and been to the Cathedral of Notre Dame and seen this beautiful architecture, how lovely it is to watch it go up in flames. Let me show you a picture or two. To see the flames rage through this historic and significant building, then to move inside of the cathedral and to see the smoke rising and the ashes as you get even closer. The rubble is there, but the cross is shining in the midst of the rubble. And I tell you, that's a picture of the gospel of Christ. That's a picture of the gospel. That the rubble of our lives, the ashes of sin, the things that we burn down with our own choices, the things that have happened in our lives, and the cross of Christ stands forward as gold to make us as pure as gold. So the resurrection and the cross on this Easter day, I tell you, gives you purpose in your life is not in vain. You can make a difference. You can live a life with purpose and value. That's what we're all looking for. And you can live a life of purity as well, that the purity of Christ, not that you'll be perfect, not that you'll be sinless, but you can sin less. And to allow God to do something in your life, and that will give you great purpose. Let me tell you about another man that's really special to our church that's buried in Glenwood Cemetery. It's a man named William Tryon. He was born in New York City, and at the age of 9, he lost his father. His father died. So imagine being in the 1800s in New York City, 9 years old, and your father passes away. But at 17, he comes to know Christ and is baptized, and he ends up becoming a pastor, and he pastors 5 churches in Alabama. Then he came to Texas, and he became a circuit-riding preacher. He'd get on a horse, and he'd ride around to different towns, and he'd preach at different places around the state of Texas. He was the one that, along with Robert E. Baylor, he drafted the charter to be able to form the University of Baylor. So if you're a Baylor Bear, this is one of the founding fathers. He was the first president of the Board of Trustees of Baylor. So God's using him to do some amazing things. He then took over to be the pastor of our church. We had no church building. There was 12 people in our church. And they built a building, and it grew from 12 to 69 people grew under this man's leadership. It was said about him, it was at the corner of Travis and Texas Avenue, that they built this new building. Here was a quote about him, and this is kind of a funny quote, so you can laugh along with this. A man of medium size, which I totally dig. That is awesome. That is great. Small man with a big God makes a good pastor. That's what I always say, right? To be able to do that, small man with a big God. So this guy with a medium size, and this is interesting, and this is a quote from the 1800s, a well-formed forehead that impressed every man who looked upon him as to his intellectual powers. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, man, that dude has got a forehead. He must be smart. Man, that lady, her forehead is this big. I mean, she is smart woman right here with all that's going on in there. So I don't know, but that's the way they said it in the 1800s. I guess a forehead was something. But then it says this, talking about purpose. Here's what it says. His great desire was to lead all to God. Do you hear purpose in that? A 9-year-old boy that loses his dad in New York City comes to Texas and rides horseback to all these different cities to preach the gospel, ends up being the pastor of our church, and it says that his purpose in his dying day, that when they wrote about it, they said some crazy stuff, but then they said, but his purpose, his devotion, his desire was the cross of Christ and the resurrection to be preached and to be shared. That's a difference maker because of the ultimate difference maker in his life. Look now at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 18 and 19, just the two next verses. Look at what it says. Those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. That means if there's no resurrection, when somebody dies, they're dead. It's over. There's no afterlife. There's no eternity. In verse 19, if we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, meaning there's no resurrection, then we should be pitied more than anyone. The cross and resurrection gives us purpose and purity, but the cross and resurrection gives us hope in heaven and on earth. The resurrection gives us hope in heaven and on earth. Verse 18 says, if there is no resurrection, bad news. All of your friends and all of your family that have gone on are not in heaven. They are in a casket. They are 6 feet under. It's it. That's all. And you can try to do nice things through your life, but you're going to die and it's going to be over with. It's really not going to matter. And everybody else is going to die and it's going to be over with. It's really not going to matter. Do you really believe that? Is that in your core? Or has God put a fingerprint in you that says, no, wait a minute. There's something in me that's a soul. There's something in me that wants greater. There's something in me for all of eternity that I know that I'm yearning for, longing for, needing for, wanting eternity when I die. See, I've done a lot of funerals. I've preached at a lot of funerals, and it's an honor and it's a blessing. But I've never been to a funeral where they've invited the medical examiner to try to go over the cause of death one more time. See, when we die, we want it to be in a church. We want it to be in a chapel. We want somebody with a Bible and somebody that's a pastor or somebody that's a believer to say there is heaven for that believer. and their faith was not in vain. And you will see them again, and you will be with them if you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what we yearn for, because God has placed eternity in our hearts. And it says here in verse 18, if there's no resurrection, then there's no hope of heaven. And if there's no hope of heaven, verse 19, then if we only have hope on earth, we're to be pitied more than anybody else on the planet. The resurrection brings us hope, hope that we'll see our loved ones again, hope that we could go to heaven when we die, hope that there's more than this strife on this earth, hope that there's greater things than we could ever imagine. God has given us, through the cross that stands forth in the ashes, the resurrection that has no tombstone. There is no casket, there is no body. So that verse 20, when it talks about that we are the first fruits of righteousness that will come out, that we can go with Jesus to heaven. So let me tell you what's gonna happen when I die. I have placed my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. The golden cross amidst the ashes of my life, He has forgiven me, and I walk not in perfection, but I walk in purity because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus's body was laid in the tomb, just as I'll be laid in the tomb. I probably won't be able to afford the Glenwood Cemetery. I'll have to bury me standing up facing a chain link fence is where I'll get in that place. But when I'm laid in whatever tomb that is, my soul will rise again because Jesus has risen again. And I will go, His bodily resurrection will be my insurance, will be my testimony that I will go to heaven when I die. And so I ask you, have you trusted in Jesus? Have you trusted in Christ? And if you have, are you walking with this amazing, ultimate difference maker? Is He really making a difference in you? Is your faith, does it seem worthless? Let Jesus infuse your faith, because you weren't made to just get a good score on the SAT. You weren't just made to marry somebody that's kind of nice. You weren't just made to raise a couple kids and make a little bit of money. You weren't raised to just be a single adult. You weren't raised to just have a job. You were raised in Christ from the grave so that you could have the ultimate difference maker and He can make a difference in your life. That's the difference. And the cross and the resurrection, it brings purity, and don't we all need it? It brings purpose. Now that I have purity, I can step in purpose. And now that I have purpose, I can step in hope for my loved ones that knew the Lord that are gone on to heaven, that I'll see them again. And for me in my life, that I have hope on planet Earth, and I have hope that God will take me to heaven. That's an amazing, amazing thing that changes everything. Now, let me tell you about our friend, William Tyron, one more notch. Buried in Glenwood Cemetery. He was the pastor of our church from 1845 to 1847. He was installed as the pastor of our church in 1845, and he was the first pastor that would be called the resident pastor, because the other two pastors before him were foreign missionaries that came for the United States of America to this foreign country called Texas. And in 1845, which is really cool, we used to be a country, right? So, I mean, that's awesome. To be there in 1845, December of 1845, two things happened. One, we became a part of the United States of America. And two, he became our pastor that same month. So he was an amazing, amazing man of God. Let me show you his gravesite in the Glenwood Cemetery. This is his gravesite of his family. And behind the historical marker is an obelisk that's sticking up. That's his marker of his grave. And you'll see, there it is a little bit closer. The founder and pastor of Houston's First Baptist Church, Houston, Texas, died November 16th, 1847. Amazing, amazing. And let me show you the view off the back side of his grave. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? I mean, beautiful. You can see downtown Houston, this beautiful lake there with this fountain there. That's right off the backside of his grave. And so as I was driving around there that day, I was like, man, this place is gorgeous. I want to be buried here. This is incredible. And then about 3 minutes after that, I drove past this, which was a little scary to me here. So your buddy Pastor Greg's driving by. It's even got two G's on the end. That's how I spell my name. Nobody gets that right. So I'm just going to try to sneak in on the Greg family plot and see if I can just get a little spot there. Then as I drove on further, I thought, oh no, this is the death of all good food in this place. I don't know if I want to be buried here. The hamburger is buried here. That's why we got to eat kale so much now, because they buried the hamburger in Glenwood Cemetery right there. William Tryon was buried there. It's an amazing spot. Maybe I'll be buried there one day as well. But in 1847, do you know how he died? Here's how he died. Yellow fever swept through the city of Houston. And they did not have the science at that time to identify that it was being spread through mosquitoes. They didn't know. They just thought mosquitoes were a nuisance. We think that too. We've all done some slapping of mosquitoes here in Houston, Texas. But the mosquitoes were transmitting yellow fever, and it began to be an epidemic throughout the city of Houston. And people were dying just terrible deaths. And literally family members were fleeing from other family members because they didn't want to get it. And people were fleeing the city of Houston. And William Tryon, our pastor, said, no, I will not leave my post. And I will continue to pastor the sick. I will continue to love on them. I will continue to care for them. And he continued to pastor in our church as epidemic of yellow fever was going around the city of Houston. And he actually contracted yellow fever himself because he did not leave his pastoral post. He preached the Sunday morning sermon with yellow fever. I think that's really noble, but I want you to know if I get yellow fever, we're going to get a guest preacher, okay? You got to at least give me a day to try to recover from. I won't leave my post. And he didn't leave his post, though. And he went and visited families that had contracted yellow fever that afternoon, until finally he died of yellow fever. 2 years of being our pastor, and he died of yellow fever because he would not leave his post. It was said of him that he was in the prime of his life, and he was ready to become the most useful preacher of his day, and that the entire city of Houston grieved over the untimely death of a man who had served so bravely. He was a difference maker, and he did not leave his post. And by not leaving his post, he contracted the sickness of the people. Well, let me tell you what, there's an ultimate difference maker. And Jesus Christ did not leave his post, and he contracted the sin of the people. Not just the sickness, though he bore our infirmities as well. He contracted the sin of the people because he didn't leave his post. He died on the post. He was crucified on the post. Nails in his hand, scars on his brow, sword in his side, spear in his side. And he did not leave you and me as we are sin sickened. And he died for us, so that he could rise for us. So I tell you this, there's a cemetery that's filled with a lot of Houston difference makers, and maybe you'll make it in that cemetery, maybe I will, who knows, probably not. Probably most people won't remember our names hundreds of years from now. But there's a tomb in Jerusalem, and there is no tombstone, and there is no stone because it's been rolled away, because there is no body, there is no casket, because Jesus Christ on Easter has risen from the grave to be the ultimate difference maker in our lives. Yes, every campus cheering for that. And the ultimate difference maker of Jesus wants to make the ultimate difference in you, to give you purity, to give you purpose, to give you hope on earth, but to give you hope in heaven as well, so that then you could step forward and your life is not in vain, and you can make a difference in someone else's life because of the difference he's made in you. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Jesus to be your forgiveness? If not, today's the day. Why would you not place your faith and trust in him? I'll give you a moment, and just a few moments, to pray and to receive Christ as your Savior. If you do know Christ, are you passionate about these things? Or is it just kind of a check the box on Easter? Let him make a difference deep in you. You'll never be sinless, but you can sin less, and Jesus can use you for great purpose. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you for our church's history, Lord. What an amazing legacy that we can look back and see that history and that legacy. Father, thank you that you didn't leave your post. You were nailed to your post. You pastored us well. You shepherded us well. You died for our purity to pay the price, and you rose again, a bodily resurrection, so that we too would rise again and be assured of heaven. If you're not 100% sure that you know Jesus is your Savior, would you pray this with me? Jesus, I know that I have sinned. I trust in your forgiveness and purity. I've received your death on the cross to be my payment. You paid for my sins. Save my soul. Resurrect me when I die to be in heaven with you. If you prayed that and you meant it with your soul, it's not that you just repeated something. It's that you meant it with your soul and you came to Christ, the ultimate difference maker, just made the ultimate difference in you. If you know Christ as Savior and you just know in your heart of hearts, it's not your primary passion, it's not your primary purpose, would you just say on this Easter day, Lord, I want to grow in you. I want to live for you. I want to walk with you. Give me the strength. Give me the courage. I love you. We thank you, God. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.